Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the balcony? Excellent. Well, a warm welcome to all of you this morning to this time of worship. Especially a warm welcome to those who are visitors amongst us, and a welcome to those who are returning back after having been away. And if you're watching the live stream, then please feel part of this act of worship. And if you're watching during the week on a recording, you can still feel part of this time of worship. So welcome to everyone. I have some opening words this morning from Hebrews chapter 11 and the first few verses. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. You're going to hear a fair amount about faith and grace this morning as the service progresses. So it seemed appropriate for the men of faith here to rise up along with the women who are present, and we'll sing together, Men of Faith, Rise Up and Sing. If you're not able to stand, then please remain seated. As we look around the world this morning, at home and abroad, and as we consider the challenges facing some of us within our fellowship, it could cause us to despair. We've witnessed violent scenes in our cities and towns caused by racist thuggery. There are the continuing wars in the Ukraine and Gaza and the Middle East and elsewhere. We may have been praying for healing for loved ones, and the answers seem a long time coming. And we might ask, where is God in all this? But whilst others in the world around us may despair, we as Christians have something very precious and special. It's called faith. Faith in our omnipotent, ever-present, miracle-working God. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The letter to the Hebrews describes faith as being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And Hebrews 11 contains a long list of believers of old who trusted God and kept having faith. And I encourage you to read it. That's your homework for this week. Hebrews 11. And when you read it, you will see that not all the people mentioned in that great list of faith were perfect. And you may be surprised that some of those people are included at all in the list. We shall learn more about that later. Let's pray. Father God, please strengthen our faith today. Help us to trust in your promises and believe in your power. When doubts arise, remind us of your faithfulness. Let our faith grow deeper and stronger each day. Thank you that our Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And Heavenly Father, fill us with hope. When life feels uncertain, remind us of your promises. Help us to hold on to the hope and trust in your plan. Let your hope be a light in our darkest moments. Thank you for being the source of all hope. Lord, as we come before you again this morning, once more we ask for forgiveness for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us whole again, we pray. Help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And let your grace and mercy flow through us. Thank you for your endless forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing three short songs of praise now. We don't seem to have any children here, Angela. Not yet. But I encourage other people, if they would like to pick up an instrument, because these three songs are all suitable for that, to make a great noise of praise before the Lord. We're going to start off with Father in Heaven, How We Love You.
Father in Heaven, how we
this morning. We'll finish with, He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Part of our worship is the bringing forward of our offering. Many of you these days give your donations to the church directly through the bank, but some of you prefer to use the offering bag. So as it comes round, either put your offerings in or just hold it for a moment to indicate that it includes what you've already given. Thank you. Lord, you are such a wonderful, generous God. And we want to thank you again this morning for all your gifts to us. We pray that you will take these gifts, Lord, and multiply them so that more and more people may come to know about your love and about how the Lord Jesus can be their Savior. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. Thank you. At this point, the children will not leave. And we give Angela permission to stay with us. Before Stephen comes to give us God's words this morning, we're going to sing another song. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. So let's stand and sing this if you are able. Right, Stephen, we'll pray for you. And we'll pray for Josie. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what you have revealed through it to Stephen during this last week, Lord. And we look forward, not so much to hearing him, Lord, but to hear you. And so we pray you will anoint his lips, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and just bless us through him, we pray. And as he blesses us, may he too be blessed, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Right. It's so good to see lots of new people here today.
people have not seen before. So you know who you are. You know who we've not been. Some people have been here, but not for a long time. Some we've never met here before. So it's a party. It's a real party, and that joy of worship certainly makes you feel like a party. Can I just encourage you this side? Could you all have a good look at that side? And likewise, yes, what an odd bunch. Who have I come to be with? Wave at the people on the balcony. Yes, we've got those who are underneath the balcony. They are waving at you. They really are. And so I just like to know who I'm amongst, and I'm sure you do as well. God has brought us from all different places for this moment, and it's very special. As a church on a Sunday morning, we're going through the Old Testament. Not chronologically. I've just asked people preaching, pray, ask God to give you a story, a true story from the Old Testament, before Jesus was born. And share them with us, because for so many of us here, and certainly so many in the world around us, the Old Testament is a closed book. It's a mysterious book. It doesn't make any sense. And so through stories, we get a bit of an opening into it, and we're going to be looking at the whole of the Bible, perhaps a bit later on in the year, next year as well. But we start with stories. Now, two Sundays ago, my wife Leslie, who's playing the piano today, she's multitasking. Leslie helped us learn about Ruth. It was prompted by her comment that up till now, we've only looked at stories involving men in the Bible rather than women. And she said, we ought to have someone like Ruth. I said, go for it. So she did it. And it was wonderful. And there was a spontaneous round of applause at the end. Yes. I never get that. I don't want it. The wonderful truth that I took from that, God has a plan. God always has a plan. And she also pointed to us Matthew chapter 1, another bit of homework for you. There, it shows the genealogy, the ancestors of Jesus, what led to Jesus being born. Who was the great-great-great-great-grandfathers and so on? Ruth appears in that list. She was part of God's plan to bring Jesus in the world to save us. Ruth's grandson was David, King David. She lived in Bethlehem, the city of David, which of course is where Jesus was born. But prompted by Leslie's message, I thought, I'm going to look at the other women who are in that list. There's four other women, one unnamed, who appear in this. And they are a really interesting bunch. First, you have Tamar, the mother of Perez. She was a Canaanite woman who pretended to be a shrine prostitute in order to sleep with her father-in-law, who had refused to give her his youngest son as required by the Jewish law, the Israelites' law, following the death of her first and second husbands, his brothers, who were also Judah's son. So that's interesting. She's in the list. Then there was Rahab, a Canaanite woman, again, who actually was a prostitute, the mother of Boaz, she's listed as. Then there's Uriah's wife. She's the one who's not named. That's Bathsheba. I presume she was a Hittite, because Uriah was a Hittite, another Canaanite. She has an adulterous relationship with King David and becomes the mother of Solomon, King Solomon. And then you have Mary, a young girl, a virgin, who becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit and gives birth to Jesus. What an amazing group of women in this list. God has a plan, and he chooses who he wants to fulfill this plan. It might not be our choice, but it's God's choice. Today, we're going to look at Rahab. Where are we, if you think about Rahab, where are we in the big story of the Bible, the big story of mankind? Where are we if we're going to look at the story of Rahab? Because the danger with going to the Old Testament, you can just pluck out a story and not know where it fits in the whole thing. Joshua has taken over from Moses to lead the Israelites across the River Jordan into Canaan, the promised land. Joshua tells the people that 3 days from now, they will cross the River Jordan to take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving for your own. Then he starts to make preparations for them to go into Canaan. And this is the point at which you have our Bible reading today.
So we're reading from...
Yes, it's on.
Then we're reading from Joshua chapter 2. And it can be found on page 216 in your Bibles. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the road and hidden them under the stalks of flask she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in the fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed when you heard of it in our hearts and sank everyone's courage and failed because of you. For the Lord your God is the God in heaven above and in earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death.
Our lives for your lives, the men answered her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. And she said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside the house into the street, their blood will be upon their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." The standing of his word.
This story raises so many questions. Why did the men go to Rahab's house? Did they know she was a prostitute? How did they know? Why did they trust her? How was it that the king heard so quickly that the spies had gone there? The spies may have chosen her house because her neighbors would have been used to a lot of different men going in and out. But the truth is that God guided those two spies to Rahab's house. Another question that I thought about, which I hadn't really thought about before, and it's always good, isn't it, when you read things and you think, oh, I've never thought about that before. How did Rahab come to know who God is and to put her faith in him? I know that the Lord has given this land to you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. What a declaration. This question, how did she come to put her faith in God, is perhaps the most important for us to think about today. The Bible declares that Rahab is a woman of great faith. Indeed, the New Bible Commentary, which I have at home, which has a whole store of stuff in it, in their opinion, it says the words that we've just heard are the first confession of faith in the Bible. Now, that's really interesting. I haven't read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy to check. But that's really interesting, isn't it? That the first declaration of faith, this is who God is, comes from a woman like Rahab. She is so well known for her faith that she appears in the roll call of faith that David mentioned at the beginning of the service in Hebrews chapter 11. This is what it says. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And amazingly, even more amazing than this, I think, is what James does. James is a great, he's the brother of Jesus, and he just says it where it is. He doesn't bother with any fancy stuff. I don't think he has any greetings at the end of his letter. He just, boom. And James uses the example of Rahab alongside Abraham, the father of faith, as an example of faith being demonstrated by action. He says this, "In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without actions, works, is dead. What amazing company for Rahab the prostitute. She's always named as Rahab the prostitute. What a horrible thing that that's her identity. But God says, look at this. I'm going to line her up the same as Abraham as examples of faith. So what happened after the bit where Josie and David finished? What happens next? What happened to Rahab? Well, more homework. You can carry on reading through the book of Joshua and you'll see. But as Joshua commanded the army to take the city of Jericho and destroy it, destroy everything and everyone in it, he said this: only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. And that's exactly what happened. We read on in chapter 6. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burnt the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Those words were spoken, recorded. They weren't written down for hundreds of years, probably at least 300 years, but possibly a lot more. But they were recorded. She lives among the Israelites to this day. That account was passed on verbally from one generation to another, to eventually it was written down. It's really interesting, the detail. There's no detail put in the stories which isn't there for a reason. I don't know if you noticed, to start with, she was put outside the camp of Israel. She was a foreigner, a Canaanite, a Jebusite, unclean. But after a while, she came to live with the Israelites. And wonderfully, she married an Israelite man named Salmon, who is descended from the tribe of Judah, Tamar's son, Perez. And they have a child named Boaz, who wasn't here 2 weeks ago. Boaz is the man who marries Ruth. And I just wonder, was Boaz in the field when he saw this Canaanite woman, a Moabite woman, who'd come back with her mother-in-law? He'd heard about her. I wonder whether part of his attraction to this Moabitess woman was the fact his own mother was a foreigner. Never occurred to me before. It's wonderful. So, what does this mean for us today? Well, it's a great story. It's a really good story. When I mentioned to Angela, said to me, I think it was last Sunday, you've done it again, haven't you? You've given me Rahab. How am I going to do that with the children? And I said, well, you can say she was an immoral woman. I must say, on a side note, I have never said the word prostitute in church so many times as I've done so today. But isn't it interesting? Every time, it's there. And this is the way God is. He doesn't smooth over things and hide things. So Angela's got a great thing to do with the children on Rahab, and it'll come. We'll make another day when you'll use it. It's a great story. It's about spies and escaping and rescue and hiding on booths and letting down on a rope from the wall. I mean, it's great stuff. But it's far more than just an interesting story. And for me, it's a story of grace and faith. Amazing grace, life-giving faith. Ian always asks me, what's the title for the sermon so I can put it on the website? So that's it, Ian. Amazing grace, life-giving faith. Grace. God chose to overlook Rahab's sinfulness, her idolatry, idol worship as a Canaanite, her lifestyle, her immorality, her bad choices, her uncleanness. And he revealed himself to her. Amazing grace. God led the spies to her, and she and her whole family were saved. And she became the mother of Boaz, the grandmother of Obed, and the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. Amazing grace. And it's a really simple message this morning, and for everyone listening, and for us to take out to the world. Whatever you have done, or whatever you have not done, whatever choices you have made, however far from God's way you have strayed, there is sufficient grace for you to be saved. You and all your family. And that may be a particular word for people today as I was reading through this. It's Rahab and all her family. This is what Jesus came for. As Paul says, this is a true saying, worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Those of us who went to the Anglican Church in their childhood or in their adulthood, you would have heard that said every Sunday. This is a true saving and worthy of acceptance of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. God sees you, and you're the people I can see, but I'm saying to everybody, God sees you as his precious creation. Someone he wants to spend eternity with. And just like Rahab, he does not believe that your past needs to stop you coming into a right relationship with him and playing a part in his eternal plans. It's not just, right, I've got you saved, get you into heaven before you cause any more trouble. This is true for each one of us, that God wants to save us and then use us in his service. And it's true for our family too. It's true for everybody you know. There is nobody that God doesn't have grace for. Everybody you see this week. Everybody in the world. Whatever they've done, whatever idolatry, immorality they've taken part in, the grace of Jesus Christ can wash them clean. Love covers a multitude of sins. I have to bring that, but there's a book called Love Covers. And George Verwer, who's died now, but who headed up Operation Mobilization, many of you would have come across George Verwer. He once, at a meeting in Reading, when I was at university, he said, you need to have this book, and you can have another book as long as you buy this book. Paul Billheimer, Love Covers. And for me, it was formative right at the beginning of my Christian life. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love leads in. There's all sorts of things that are wrong with us sat here, but love covers a multitude of sins. So that's grace, and then there's faith. Rahab had faith in who God is. The Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below. And she had faith in what this God was doing. The Lord has given this land to you. How did she get that faith? How did she get to that point? What happened? She wasn't an Israelite. She didn't have the Torah, the law. Paul tells us the answer in Romans. And I always joke about it, but it's absolutely true. The answer's in Romans. The answer's in Romans. To so many questions, the answer's in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. Everyone can have faith in God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is through faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Nobody can say, God has not spoken to me. God has not revealed himself to me. Nobody can say that. Because in creation, in what has been made, God has revealed his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. And everybody has a choice as to how they respond to the God who made them. Rahab received her faith through creation. The Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below. And she also heard about the miracle of the drying up of the Red Sea. How long ago was that for her? Anybody answer me, Rahab? How many years before had it happened? 40. 40 years. The people of Jericho and all across Canaan, 40 years earlier, they'd heard about the drying up of the Red Sea. And she had remembered, and she knew who she was dealing with. And they just heard about the complete destruction of the Amorite kings, Sihon and Og, and all their people, all their armies, everything was gone. I've got good news. God's creation is still here. I saw the sun this morning. Anybody else see the sun this morning? Did you see a beautiful creation this morning? Can you, well, just look at your neighbor. You've got a beautiful creation right next to you. It's true. It's true. Charlie, just for you and Ian, we are beautiful this morning. We are looking wonderful. Ian and Charlie can't see us with their eyes, but they know what we're like. All too well. Thank you. We'll do some prayer ministry after the service for that. God's creation is still here. People may have named it something else, but it isn't. It's God's creation. Miracles are still being performed in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God is still overcoming evil, destroying the works of the evil one, and bringing complete deliverance to people. The thing that gave Rahab faith, that God are listed in Hebrews 11, and the roll call of faith, are still here now. You can't say Rahab was in a special case. She wasn't. She was in the sense she chose to believe where others didn't. So, how will we respond to God? It's faith or disobedience. In the Bible, the opposite of faith is disobedience. Not faith and unbelief, but faith and disobedience. How will we respond to God? Will we ask him to give us faith, or we walk away? And the thing that Rahab didn't have, we now have. People here now have. Jesus' victory on the cross. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus on the cross gives us faith in a God who so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And as we hear God speaking of these things with an open heart, the Holy Spirit quickens the word, logos in Greek, the word, and it becomes rhema, another word for word, which is breath, wind, alive. God takes the Bible and brings it alive, and that creates faith. This is what we need to hold out the word of life. On the front of our building, it says we're here to hold out the word of life. This is why we're doing it, so that it creates faith in Jesus. Faith is a choice. God's amazing grace is always available until that day when its blessing will be completed on Jesus' return. But faith is a choice we need to make. Rahab was commended for her faith, demonstrated by her actions. She proved the fact that she believed in God by what she did. She welcomed the spies and she helped them get away. Because she confessed her faith in God and proved it by her actions, she and all her whole family were saved. So what choice will you make? What choice will the members of your family make? Other people make. We have a choice as to whether we bow down to Jesus or not. To leave our sinful life behind or not. To serve the purposes of God or not. Rahab's life, her story, is a great encouragement for us to go with God. To receive his love and grace. To repent, to turn around, follow him, and become his children, to live with him forever. We were talking to somebody yesterday in a cafe who we know well, and she was talking about possibly coming to church and being, because she's looking for community. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God, is family. And this is our gospel message. It's not just forgiveness of sins. It's becoming a child of God. It's coming into the family. This is the family of God. And as I've already got you to look at each other, you know what you look like. We are an odd bunch. But we are the family of God. We are his delight. And there's no better place for us to be than in the family of God, worshiping him. We have a choice as to whether we will become part of God's purposes or to oppose them. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's Paul writing in Ephesians. You've been saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. You didn't save yourselves. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepares in advance for us to do. One final little gift that I've got for you from Rahab. How did the Israelites know which house Rahab lived in so they didn't kill her and her family when they destroyed Jericho? How did the spies find her again in the confusion? A scarlet red cord was tied in the window. Now, I haven't had the time, I'll admit that. I haven't done my extensive research, and I've no idea what a red cord in a window meant in Rahab's time. But we've all heard of the red light district. Isn't it interesting? A scarlet red cord was in the window. But much more importantly, what does that remind you of? 40 years earlier, the scarlet red blood of the Lamb was put on the door frames and on the lintel so that the angel of the Lord would pass over the house rather than destroy the firstborn son in each of the Hebrews' houses. So just as the Israelites passed over Rahab's house and she was saved, so 40 years earlier, the angel of the Lord had passed over because of the scarlet blood. 1400 years later, the scarlet red blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, smeared over his body and over the cross, poured out when he died, was there for all to see, so that God might pass over our sins. And he executed his justice on Jesus rather than us. All those who put their faith in Jesus' sacrifice and in his blood are saved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. You know our names, and you know our deeds. You know everything about us, and you look upon us with love. If you have not yet received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not yet come to him and said sorry and been forgiven, do it today. Don't delay. The Father wants to lavish grace upon you, pour it on you, clean you, bring you within the family. No longer outside the camp, no longer outside grace and eternal life. But come on in. If you have tasted of the grace of the Lord, but you have backslidden, you've gone away from him, come back today. His grace is here today. Lord, help us to put our faith in you for every situation, every trouble, whether it's what we've done or what someone else has done, whether it's struggles we're going through, suffering we're going through, sickness, bereavement, whatever it might be. Lord, we put our faith in you and we come to you for grace. We come to you for healing. We come to you for life. Help us never forget how much you love us. Never forget your amazing grace and that eternal life comes through faith in Jesus. Help us to be bold to share this simple message with our family and all those around us. They don't know the truth that Rahab knew. But we have your word, we have your Holy Spirit, we have all we need to tell of your amazing grace. So send us out with the power of your Holy Spirit to do just that. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us a word which is at the same time encouraging but also challenging. I think we could just spend a moment or so just quietly reflecting on what we've heard this morning. If at the conclusion of our service this morning you feel you would like someone to help you to pray, there will be some of our prayer ministry people. They'll be wearing yellow lanyards and they'll be at the front of the church, very willing to sit with you and pray. We're going to sing a song called Everyone Needs Compassion now. And then there will be a short opportunity for open prayer if anyone feels led to do so. Everyone needs compassion.
Compassion, love that's never failing.
Just a short opportunity now for anyone who would like to offer a prayer. Often when we give this invitation, plenty of people pray, but I can only hear about half of them. So I've got a remedy for that. I thought, if you'd like to pray, stick your hand up and I'll give you the lollipop. Pray for Pam.
Yes, I had a phone call from Pam this morning, and unfortunately she isn't very well today. And she's now got they've discovered she's got a large heart that she's got to have more treatment for. So I just want to pray for Pam. Lord, you know she's been through so much in this last few years. Just bless her today and be with her in her home for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Lord, we would pray again for the people who were affected by that Southport stabbing. We hear that the teacher has been readmitted to hospital, and we just pray that you will be with her. And also with the family of the little girl whose funeral was just a few days ago and whose older sister saw what happened. Lord, just be so close to that little girl too as she comes to terms with losing her own sister. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for returning to us this morning, Sheila, our dear sister, after her time away through medical difficulties. Thank you, too, for bringing Rowena into our presence today, Lord, which is a real blessing to us as well. Thank you for bringing people here who we haven't seen before, who we hope to get to know very shortly. Thank you for this wonderful worldwide Christian family to which we belong. Lord, these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts we offer to you in confidence, knowing that you are a God who both hears and answers our prayers. We offer these prayers in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. To close our service, I've chosen one of my favorite hymns, the more modern ones that we have these days. There is a higher throne. I was looking into this and discovered that it has been inspired by the words of Revelation 7, chapters, verses 9 and 10. So if you look at Revelation 7, 9 and 10, you'll perhaps see how this wonderful song came to be written. Let's stand and sing it before we leave. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us. Amen. Let's address each other with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.